Thank you, Mitchell. Think I'm going to get you a turkey dinner for doing that. Maybe even throw some pie or something in. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, if you were here last night, we read through Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. And so this morning, we're going to take a little bit of a closer look at what the Scripture says in Luke chapter 2 about Jesus and His coming. So what's the meaning of Christmas? If you went and you did a couple of polls, people would say family, others would say friends, and still others might say, well, if they were honest, kids might say gifts, you know. It's a lot about gifts. Many of us would say food, you know. So we have a lot of ideas about Christmas. And I would say to you, yes, it's about those things, but it's about a whole lot more. It's about how Jesus came and came into this world. And so let's look at Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And the Scripture says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. "And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time for her to give birth came. She gave him, and she put him in swaddling clothes, and she wrapped him, and she laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them, or there was no place for them in the inn." This is what the Bible says about the most important event in history. And so as you look at this particular event, I want you to think about how Jesus came at the right time. You can't control when a baby comes, can you? When Mackenzie was, I was looking at her this morning, and I'm always reminded, or at times like this, I think a lot about when she was born. Those of you who've been here at Tippett's have heard me talk about that, and she hates it when I describe that, but it was quite an event. We were told to be at the hospital at a certain time, and sometime in the night, Lynn starts saying, "I don't feel right." And I said, "Well, I can get you to the hospital." Turned the flashers on. She said, "No, don't do that." I was going to run to the light. She said, "Don't do that." You know, I was going to get her there and get her there quickly because I did not want to deliver Mackenzie on my own. When we get to the hospital, they're like, "You're early. This is not the time." And Lynn says, "It's time. This baby is coming right now." And actually, they didn't believe her for a little bit. And so Mackenzie was born in triage. We didn't get that expensive room that we paid for. But the point is, when it was time for her to come, she came. And there was nothing anyone could do about it. There's nothing anybody could say, "Well, you know, you're not supposed to be here until such and such." Well, she's coming. When it was time for him to come, he came at just that time. And everything built up toward it. You think about what happened through history. You think about the exile. You think about what was going on with the Roman Empire. And before Rome, you think about Greece and how Alexander the Great went through a good portion of the world. And so many people were speaking Greek at that time. At just the right moment, the Lord says, "It's happening. It's happening now." And he tells us that. He tells us when Caesar Augustus was over Rome there. And so that was a specific point in history. He talks about that in verse 2 when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. So there was this guy that was governor of Syria. This guy was over the Roman Empire. It was a particular point in history. So God works through history. God works through events. And so whether you think about the history of the United States of America, you can see where God's worked through that. Think about how God worked through the crash of 1929, the Great Depression, December 7, 1941, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam, and even up to this point. We think of the Persian Gulf Wars, and we think about the wars on terror as of late. God has been working all through those events. God worked through our election this past year. God is always busy. God is always up to something, doing something. And so for us, we have to look and say, what is he doing at this moment? But realize there was a point that was building up to when the Christ would come, the Messiah would come, and there is now a point building up to when he will return. And so it's our role to look and ask ourselves, how is he working, and to be busy about that. I want you to think about your own family. I want you to think about your own wife.
How has God worked through your life? How has God worked through the events that have transpired with you? You think about it. We consider it a birth. We consider deaths. We think of transitions. We think of moves. We think of times where people have hurt us. Maybe someone has abandoned us or something. Those are key events of the history of our life. But yet, if you think of it, God is always at work moving through those events. Not on the grander as this. This is part of the big plan, but we're part of a smaller plan that God is working through. You go back and you notice here in verse 4, it says, Joseph went up from Galilee, a specific person in a specific place, from the town of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of lineage of David. Now, why was he moving? Why was he going to this particular place? He was going there because they had to pay taxes. When it says he was going to be registered, it's like, you're turning in your W-2 forms or whatever. You're going to do your 1040. You're paying some taxes, buddy. And I like to see they even had to deal with that back then. But as you keep on noticing here, notice it talks about how they went up to Bethlehem. And so Bethlehem is up on a mountain, 2,000 plus feet. And so this is hard for them as they're journeying along and they're trying to get there. And notice it says, Mary was with child, and it says while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and they laid him in a manger. And so all of this is important. All of this, there's something about it. So he's wrapped in these swaddling clothes. Why is he laid in a manger? Because there's no room for him. It says in the next section of that verse, there's no room for him in the inn. And so you see, there's a lot to do with time. There's a lot to do with history as you look at this passage. But there's also the human element. What will people do with Jesus? And so in the last phrase there in verse 7, it says, because there was no place for them in the inn. They didn't have time for Jesus. They did not have a place for him in their particular lives. You're here this morning, and I ask you about this. How about you? Do you have time for Jesus? Do you have a place for him in your life? Do you have a point where you focus on him? Do you have time where you read about him? You read his scripture every day. Do you have time that you spend with his people and his church? Do you take time for other people as well? And so what you see here in this passage is there were people that didn't have time for Jesus, and they missed an important point in history. They missed an important blessing that they could have received. You also see something about they just probably did not see the value that these two people could bring. Something happens a little later, you know, in the story. They go to the temple and they can't bring a lamb to offer. They don't have money for that. They're people of meager means. They're poor people. And so I suspect there were people like that were running that inn thought, well, what can these people do for me? How can they help me? And I think it's important for us to remember there are no unimportant people with the Lord. This was the most important person of all time. And these people missed it because they were probably looking for something different. I ask you this morning, do you have time for other people? You know, when you spend time with other people, it's a way of you spending time with Jesus. I want you to hold your Bible open there to Luke chapter 2. But I want you to take your Bible and turn over to Matthew chapter 25. If you want to use a pew Bible, Matthew chapter 25 is going to be on page 831 of your pew Bible. So you may say to yourself, well, how is it that I spend time with Jesus? Well, number one, yes, in the Word. Number two, you can say yes with His people. But there's another way. You're spending time with our Lord when you spend time with other people. In Matthew chapter 25, the Lord talks about the second coming of Christ, when He will return. And He says in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne, and before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So notice He talks about sheep, or you're going to hear Him talk about sheep here in a minute, and He talks about sheep at the second coming as well. He talks about also how He is a shepherd. Verse 33 says, he will place the sheep on the right, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. You spend time with Jesus when you're in his word. You spend time with Jesus when you're with his people. And you spend time with Jesus when you're with the neediest people in your sphere of influence. The kid that no one will sit with in the lunchroom. The person that no one wants to be around there that you work with. The person in your community that perhaps has been ostracized for something they did in the past or whatever. But when you spend the time with the least of these, he says, you spend time with me. And so this morning I ask you, first of all, I ask you to realize that Jesus came at the right time. And so he's moving in time. And your life should be about that, about the bigger picture. And so as we look at our lives, we don't get so hung up in the presents and the gifts of Christmas. But we're thinking, what's the big picture here? This is a family member here that I need to reach out to. This is a coworker or a classmate that I need to extend a hand to. We're looking at the big picture as we go through and we move through time. The other thing you see here in Luke chapter 2 is that Jesus came for all people. He came for all people. And I think the Lord makes this very clear to us. And when you look here in verse 8, he says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, I don't know what this was like working with the sheep, but I do know a little bit about hog farming. When I was a kid, I grew up and there was a hog farm here, there was a hog farm there, and sometimes I actually got the privilege of working in the hog farm. It was not a real good privilege. But anyway, the big thing I remember about that was every step I took, I killed many, many flies. And if I was not careful, if I had my mouth open, I would have a mouthful of flies. And I remember the first time I worked at the hog house, as we called it, and I came home and my own mother, who gave birth to me and said she loved me, stopped me and would not let me come into the house, and took a water hose actually and washed me down before I could come into the house. I was so filthy. I was so dirty. Now, I think in a way, working with sheep is a bit like hog farming. You get dirty. You're out there. You're with them all the time. Your hands are dirty. You've got the smell upon you. And you may leave the sheep, but the sheep have left something on you. And so wherever you go, people are like, he's been around sheep, like they would say to us. He's been around some hogs there. He's been around some pigs. And so really, people did not aspire to say, you know, most people probably, I really want to be a shepherd one day. There were probably some, but it was probably not something that the intelligentsia, the high classes, really wanted for their children. And it may have just been that a lot of people look down on shepherds. And it may just be that the Lord wants us to understand, I don't look down on anyone, buddy. I care for everybody. Everyone matters to me. By the way, I sent my angel to declare to the shepherds that I had come for them. And so if you go back and look here, in verse 8, it says right there in this same area were the shepherds. They were out in the field. So it's not like they had got clean. They were cleaned up for this. They were out in the field and they were working. They were keeping watch over their flock at night. The angel appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were filled with great fear. It's about the shepherds. It's about these people that other people did not put up on a pedestal, so to speak. The angel said to them, "Fear not, you're okay, fellas, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So you get this first. You that other people perhaps look down on, you're the first to get this news. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Now you may sit here and say, "Well, you know, I'm not really a hog farmer or not even a shepherd, so this does not apply to me." Well, you know, we get dirty in other ways, don't we? Doesn't sin, we get entangled in sin, and doesn't it dirty us up, and doesn't it destroy our lives, and doesn't it change us? And doesn't it seem like someone commits a sin and people remember it for the next, you know, well after that person's gone? And so we get dirty in a different way, but we get dirty as a result of our sins. And I think you can say, just like the Lord came to the shepherd, he comes to all of us, no matter what sins we may have committed, no matter what other people may think of us or how other people may look down upon us or what they may say, perhaps even when we're around. The Lord Jesus was announced to shepherds, people that were dirty. The Lord Jesus came for all people, people that are dirty in sin. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. Now you're here and maybe you're trying to follow Jesus, and sometimes you're thinking to yourself, "Well, I don't know if this is going right. I don't know if I'm doing this right." Well, it's interesting how the Lord helps us. He helped these shepherds. If you'll look at it, look down and notice what I just read. It said in verse 12, "This will be a sign for you." So guys, this is how you're going to know you're about to see the Messiah, or this is how you're going to know that this is the Messiah. This is going to be a sign to you. You're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's not going to look like a Messiah, but he is. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. And lo and behold, he's going to be lying in a manger. That's the sign. And so there are things that happen as you become a follower of Christ, or as you repent of certain sins. I'm on the right track. This is working. This is happening as we go along. And it's the same kind of thing that he did there with the shepherds. The scripture says that suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those in whom he is pleased." The best sign that you're going to have that God is at work in you and God is doing things in your life and you're on the right track is you're going to have peace. The kind of thing that used to turn your life upside down, the kind of thing that used to result in you not being able to sleep, you're going to be able to be at peace with that kind of situation. And that is a sign. That's a sign they receive. That's a sign you will receive should you be a follower of Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, "The angels went from them into heaven. And the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened.'" Notice the activity. Notice the action in Matthew 25. You feed, you clothe, you go and see these people. You know, God is a God of action. So if you're going to follow God, you get moving. You act differently with your family. You act differently at work. You act differently toward your siblings and so forth. And so these people are doing different things, and they must get busy and go see this baby lying in the manger. And so it says, they went with haste. So they didn't drag around and say, "Well, you know, maybe I'll get there in a little bit." They went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, verse 17 says, "When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child." Can you imagine this? Who are shepherds to come and tell me about the Messiah? I'm a person of high society. I am a part of the intelligentsia, and a shepherd, I mean, they still smell like sheep, don't they? These shepherds are the ones telling me. When God changes you, you go and you tell people. And sometimes people look and say, "Who are you to come and tell me? I mean, what? Have you not made a wreck of your life? And here you are telling me, upstanding, important person, I'm a member of such and such, and you're talking to me?" Go and tell people. And that's what these shepherds were busy. They went out and they began to tell other people what the Lord had done. Then as you scroll down and look in verse 18. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So the people paid attention, and it was quite interesting to them. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Jesus is to be praised. Jesus came at the right time. Jesus came for all people. And Jesus is to be praised. Our role, our purpose in this life is not to go around and have a good time, though that's nice. It's not to satisfy ourselves or consume our energies on pleasure, though you can have fun. But our life is to be consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ, worshiping Him, praising Him, to let Him take our lives and transform our lives and to take us and to turn us into different kinds of people. These shepherds were different. Their lives were different. And so they left, and it says they were glorifying and they were praising God for all that they had seen and heard and all that had been told them. They kept thinking over and over again about what they heard, what the angel said, about the things that they saw. And you and I want to do the same thing. Think about the scripture that we've read, the scripture and how it's spoken to us. Think about things that we've gathered from one another, worshiping with Him. Think about how we've seen God move in people's lives and in families and so forth. Verse 21, at the end of 8 days, He was circumcised. He was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before He was conceived in the womb. A minute ago, Mackenzie read the passage, and the angel said, "You'll call Him Jesus." The passage we read last night, Mary was told, "You call Him Jesus." He was to be called Jesus because He would save His people from their sins. And so this morning, we praise Him because of what He has done for us. And so I ask you to think about that for a bit. To think about Jesus, think about who He is, and think about what He is. And I think sometimes it helps just to pause for a minute and think, what would this world be like without Jesus? You think this past week was terrible when this Russian ambassador is shot to death in front of these people? You think that what happened in Germany with that truck coming through and killing all those people, you think that's dark? You think that's a dark world? Well, buddy, you just imagine what it would be like if there were no Jesus. It would be so much more of that and all the time. Think about how the more Christians, the more Jesus you have in the community, the less you have of that kind of thing. Our world would be a lot different if it were not for Jesus. Think about our nation. A lot of people complain about our nation and talk about, you know, how bad it is. And, you know, we have our weaknesses. But what would our nation be like without Jesus? What would it be like on a day like today? What would it be like when you try to go to school or when you try to go to work? It would be a much different place without Jesus. Think about our community. What would it be without Jesus? Think about your family. What would it be like if Jesus had not come? And think of your own life. How would your life be different were there no Jesus? Jesus is not just something that we talk about. Jesus is the Son of God. He changed this world. He changes people. And He'll do it all the way up until He returns. This Christmas, a lot of people think, hey, it is all about family. It's all about food. It's all about gifts. Hey, if that's what it's about, then it's about nothing. Christmas would be nothing without Jesus. Jesus is the one that gives all those things the meaning that they have. Embrace Him today. Father, I thank You for the real meaning of Christmas. And I thank You, Lord, for what you have done for us, how you've made a way for us. I thank you, Lord, for how you loved us so much that you gave your Son for us, for all of us, Lord, for whosoever would believe in him. Help us, Lord, to never take Jesus for granted. Help us, Lord, to always be about sharing Jesus with others. Help us, Lord, to be focused where our focus needs to be. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you're able to stand, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. And I ask you, so what have you done with Jesus? The folks there in the inn did not have time for Jesus. So many times we get distracted by the different things that go on in this life and this world. Do you have time for him this morning? Is Jesus the one that's the focus of your life? Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're entangled in something no one even knows anything about. You need to repent of that. You need to ask Jesus to come into your life and to change you. You don't understand. If you knew what I was really like, you would not say, Jesus wants to come to me. Oh, Jesus came specifically for you. He came to make you new. Turn your life around. Turn your life over to Jesus. Praise Jesus this Christmas. I don't know what you need to pray, but why don't you pray it now there where you stand, or if you prefer, you could come to this altar and you could pray it here. Jesus, this morning I ask that you will forgive us of our sins. Lord, forgive us of where we've fallen short. Forgive us of where we become consumed about worthless things. Help us, Lord, to focus on you and take us and transform our lives. Father, as we leave this place this morning, I ask that you'll help us to go to family outings, to go and to be with friends, and help us, Lord, to be aware of how we might share Jesus, how we might point people toward Jesus, how we might help those that perhaps have hurt us in the past or perhaps have done things that have offended us or wronged us in some way. Help us, Lord, to realize that you've called us to go to all people, helping them come to know you if they will. Be with us now, Lord, as we go forth and we celebrate the rest of this day. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray and ask these things. Amen.